हरण्येल्पमेधसा सम्भोज्राण्याभ्येफादेशाय जलानीव जलोकषा अधर्मोपचितं वित्तम् हरन्त्यन्येऽल्पमेधसः सम्भोजानीयाफदेशाय जालानीव जलोकसः अधर्मोपचितं वित्तम् हरत्यन्येऽल्पमेधसा सम्भोजानीयाभ्येफादेशाय जलानीव जलोकषः अधर्मोपचितं वित्तम्
Dharma, by irreligious means, upachitam, gathered, vitam, wealth, haranti, steal, anye, other persons, alpamedashaha, of one who is unintelligent, sambhojaniya, as requiring support, apadeshai, by the false designations, jalani, water, eva, as jalaokasha, of a resident of the water. In the guise of dear dependence, strangers steal the sinfully acquired wealth of a foolish man, just as the offspring of a fish drink up the water that sustains the fish. Purport. Ordinary people feel they cannot live without their wealth, although their possessions of it is circumstantial and temporary. Just as wealth gives life to an ordinary man, water gives life to a fish. One's dear dependents, however, steal one's wealth just as a fish's offspring drink up the water sustaining the fish. In the words of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this world is a weird abode. Om Akyam Timitandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vansha Kalpatharubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ajanulambita Bhujo Kanakatavato Sankirtanay Kapitaro Kamalayatakso Vishwambharo Yugaparo Yugadharma Palo Bande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunathananda
Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Adharmo pachitam vitam, haranti anyelpa medhasa, sambhojaniya padeshaya, jalani vajalokashaha. In the guise of dear dependence, strangers steal the sinfully acquired wealth of a foolish man, just as the offspring of a fish drink up the water that sustains the fish. We are reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this chapter, Akrura, the dear and beloved relative of Lord Sri Krishna, is being sent to Hastinapur in order to deliver Krishna's message to the residents, as well as to see what is the situation of his dear devotees, the Pandavas. Krishna explains in Gita, sarvasya chaham hridisha nivishta patasmatir jnanam apohanam sha Vidaishta Sarvayaraham Eva Bhedo Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham. That he is in the heart of every living being. He knows everything. There is nothing unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedaham Samathitani Vartamanani Chajana Bhavashani Chabhutani Mamtu Vedana Kashtana. That he knows everything that's happened in the past, all that's happening in the present, and all things that are to happen in the future. He also knows every thought, every desire of every living being. So why is it that Krishna has sent his beloved uncle Akrura to Hastinapur in order to see and report to him of what is the condition of the Pandavas? This is his lila. It is his love that really Krishna requires nothing of anyone. He is Atmaram. But to give his surrendered devotees the joy and the bliss of serving him, of reciprocating love with him, he appears as if he needs us. In Vrindavan Dham, Mother Yashoda, she was thinking that if Krishna, if I do not feed him, then he will become very sick, and perhaps even he will die. Of course, at Brahmandagat, when Yashoda Mai looked in Krishna's mouth, she could see that the whole universe was contained within him. So how is it that her child, who contains everything, she requires to give him some food, to give him the milk from her breast? When Krishna revealed the entire cosmic manifestation within his mouth to his mother Yashoda, with great reverence and respect, folded hands, she began to offer prayers. That I can see you are the supreme absolute truth. You are the Lord of the universe. You are the cause of all causes. Everything is within you. Nothing is outside of you. And I have been so foolish that I am thinking that you are my own little child. But this understanding of Krishna, being the supreme truth, interfered with her loving service to the Lord. So upon closing his mouth, Lord Sri Krishna covered her with his yogamaya potency. This yogamaya potency is the energy of the Lord which covers a devotee from understanding his true opulence only to increase their love and their desire to serve. Mahamaya Shakti is that power for rebellious beings in this material existence that covers their understanding of the Supreme Truth so that they will just go on with their karmic activities thinking that they are the enjoyers. As you approach Krishna, he reveals himself accordingly through his energies. So for those who want to enjoy independent of Krishna, who want to be the controllers, the masters, Krishna covers them with the potency of Mahamaya so that they actually think that I'm the enjoyer. They think that I am this body. Although the soul is transmigrating birth after birth after birth through so many bodies, and we see before our own eyes our body is going through so many changes, it is getting old, it's getting diseased, but we, the witness, remain the same. It is just common sense and practical logic to know that the soul is distinct from the body. But by the Mahamaya potency, Krishna covers the souls of any true intelligence to think, I am this body. And if I give something upon my tongue, or I see something with my eyes or with my ears, I will enjoy. And the more wealth I acquire, and more power and prestige, the more my life is successful. In this way, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, and the years are fruitlessly lost. And our whole human life is wasted by the power of Maya. But we find in the case of Mother Yashoda, Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya means the Maya that connects us, that unites us more intimately with God. She realized that Krishna is the absolute truth. That he is the origin of everything that exists. That he is the master. He is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator. Aham saravasya prabhavo matta saravam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam udhabhava samandita. That all material and spiritual worlds are emanating from him alone. But with this realization, she could not love him as a mother. She could only love him as a very insignificant menial servant. So upon Krishna's beautiful smiling glance, it was so charming, it was so attractive, that her heart was so filled with love for this little child that love completely drowned away all conception that he's God. She forgot that she had just seen the universe within his mouth. And she was thinking that he was so hungry, there was nothing in his mouth, so let me give him the milk from my breast. In this way, Krishna simply wants to give pleasure to his devotees. And there's only one pleasure that his devotees can find joy in, and that is surrendering, sacrificing, serving him. In the story of Dhruva Maharaj, we read how he went to the forest on the order of his Gurudev Narada to perform tapasya in Madhuban on the bank of Jamuna in Braj Bhumi. And after such intensive tapasya, he was fasting little by little. First he was just eating some every month he was just taking some wild roots that were growing or some dry leaves falling from the trees. The next month he was only drinking little water. After some time, he was only taking one breath per month. And finally, he didn't even breathe, eat, drink, or sleep. He was just completely immersed in concentration on the Paramatma, Vishnu within his heart, constantly chanting in his mind, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. At that time, Lord Narayan appeared before him. Such a beautiful form. The object of his meditation within appeared before his very eyes. And he bowed down, he surrendered to the Lord. And he was only about 5 years old. What could he do before the Supreme Absolute Truth, Bhagavan? He never was educated at any schools. He did not know Sanskrit poetry. But in his heart, he so much yearned to praise the Lord. So Krishna, Lord Narayan, took his conch shell and touched his head. And by touching his head with the conch shell, he gave him all knowledge to praise him. Such beautiful slokas he recited that even thousands and thousands of years later today, millions of years, this happened in Satya Yuga. We are still enjoying, enlightened by these beautiful prayers of Dhruva. You see, in order to satisfy Lord Sri Krishna with our prayers and with our mantras, it is not a question of just being academically expert in the Sanskrit language. It is not a question of just cultivating all sorts of philosophical understandings. It is a question of our sincerity. It is a question of our devotion. And then, even if you are illiterate, Krishna can empower you. Mukam karoti vacha lam bhangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bandem sigurum tinatharanam. That even if a person is deaf and dumb, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, Paramananda, one can speak the most beautiful poetic slokas in praise of the Lord. Even if one is lame with no legs, he could cross the Himalayan mountains with ease. And even if one is blind, he could see the farthest stars in the sky. So we should understand that the ultimate goal of life is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is pleased by our sincerity, our humility, and our devotion. And if we have those qualities, Krishna can give us whatever potencies he so desires that we have to serve him. Anyways, Sri Bhagavan Narayan, he told to Dhruva that you have done all this wonderful seva for me. Now please ask me any benediction. You want a kingdom greater than your father? I will give it. Dhruva Maharaj said, no. I came to this forest looking for broken pieces of glass, and I have achieved the rarest beautiful diamond. I was looking for material wealth, which is all an illusion, a phantasmagoria, castles in the sand, flowers in the sky. But now I have achieved the beautiful darshan of the supreme beauty. Now my only desire is that you engage me in your service. You allow me to be the servant of your servant. That is the only treasure that my heart longs for. So you see, such great devotees of the Lord, they want nothing but to serve the Lord, to give pleasure to the Lord. Sarvadharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarvapapibhyo mokshaye shamimasi. Krishna says, you abandon all varieties of religion and you surrender to me. And he defines what is surrender. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yajim nam namaskaru mam evaisya shi satyam te prati janitriyoshime. You always think of me. You worship me. You bow to me. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Pata Pashanti Suraya. Such great souls, they make the service of the Supreme Lord their only goal of life. So in this beautiful lila of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Krishna to satisfy, to please his devotees. He is giving them the chance to serve them. Similarly, here in this temple, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji, they have appeared so beautiful, so all attractive to our minds. Although that we know Arache Vishnu Srila Dhira Gurushu, that Krishna is none different than the Murti, that Sri Radharani and Thakurji Sri Krishna has personally appeared in their full opulence in this forms. There's no difference between the deity and Krishna. It is not that the Murti is a symbolic representative of Krishna. But Krishna, by his inconceivable, unlimited potency, has entered into the form of the Murti just to accept our love. You cook for me. Every day the devotees are working so hard. 6 offerings of bhoga are being given to the Lord every day. Devotees are downstairs just now cooking chapatis and sabjis and rice and so many other nice preparations. And Matajis are working in this kitchen here, cooking, cutting vegetables, cleaning pots. Why? Because Radha Gopinath is expecting our service. They are hungry for our love. They are hungry for our devotion. And we see in the back, these ladies are making garlands. Why they are making garlands? Because Radha Gopinath Ji, they are so pleased when we put upon them the expression of our love in the form of fragrant, soft flowers. And devotees, so many, are rising so early in the morning to wake up the Lord, to put him to rest, to bathe him, to dress him, to decorate him. Of course, these regulations are very important to keep our mind controlled and fixed in the beautiful form of the Lord. But we should also know that above and beyond that, Krishna is appearing in such a way that we can serve him, that we can love him. And as we develop our love for him, he reveals himself more and more and more by giving us a deeper desire for service. On the path of bhakti, a devotee is never satisfied. Eternally, we're unsatisfied.
Arivo.
People want peace. People want satisfaction. But on the path of bhakti, nobody's ever satisfied. Because love is never stagnant. Prema is something that is dynamic. The more you love Krishna, the more you want to serve him. The more you become greedy to surrender more and more of your life for him. But we should know that this transcendental anxiety and greed to surrender more, to give more, to serve more, is far deeper ecstasy for the soul than to be satisfied, to be peaceful. This is the nature of prema, or love. So therefore, Akrura, who is such a surrendered, loving devotee of Lord Sri Krishna, Krishna has given him a very responsible and a very difficult service. The more difficult, the more a devotee feels that I am receiving Krishna's mercy. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna gave Arjuna a very difficult service. You kill your grandfather. You kill your cousins. You kill your friends for me. And you fight. He even told him to kill his own brother, Karna, Radheya. This is very difficult. But it was the ecstasy of love that Arjuna experienced as he was executing this most impossible mission. The Pandavas, they were Krishna's devotees. They had surrendered everything for Krishna. And Mother Kunti, their mother, she was such a soft-hearted, loving lady. She loved Krishna like a mother loves a child. Why Kunti and the Pandavas had to suffer so bad? In fact, Yudhisthira Maharaj, while living in the forest in exile, asked Krishna, "Why? We're your devotees. We have surrendered our lives to you only. You are the husband of the goddess of fortune. You are Sarveshwareshwara, the controller of all controllers. Why are you doing this to us? We're nice devotees." And Krishna told Yudhisthira, "Yasyaham anagrinami harishyadhadhanam shanaya." That when I show my kindness to my devotee, I fulfill whatever desire he has. I give him whatever he wants. But when I show my greatest compassion to the devotee, I take everything away. Because then that devotee, he has no one else and nothing else to turn to except me. So Akrura came to hear from the Pandavas and Kunti, to examine the situation of Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and what sorts of abominable persecutions they were inflicting upon such innocent and great souls. And here we find Akrura. He is advising Dhritarashtra. Can't you see what nonsense you are? What have the Pandavas done against you? They are innocent and pure. But because of your attachment to being the king, when it's not even your proper place, this throne was meant for Pandu. And this throne is meant ultimately for Yudhisthira. Why you are so attached to a position that is not yours? Do not you know that this body, this position, and everything else you have is just a temporary illusion? To the degree you live according to truth and devotion, that is the only thing that will remain. And you are wasting your life. You are incriminating yourself in so much terrible karma just to stay in this artificial position? And why? Because your sons want you to stay in that position. Because Duryodhana knows if you're king, he'll be next king. And if you put Yudhisthira as king, then he will have to be a servant. Because of your attachment to association with evil-minded people, your whole life is being destroyed. You are incriminating yourself in the most terrible deeds. Therefore, Dhritarashtra, don't be a fool. Don't think that anything is yours. Just be the humble servant of the Lord. Today, in this verse, he is explaining, in the guise of dear dependence, strangers steal the sinfully acquired wealth of a foolish man, just as the offspring of a fish drink up the waters that sustains the fish. We are thinking that our loved ones, our dear dependents, but actually, it is explained here, they are strangers. They are in the disguise of our children or our relatives. And their motive, not to love us and to serve us, but to exploit us. To steal our very human energy and all the fruits of our energy for their own selfish purposes. And they appear to love us and glorify us and worship us only because they want to exploit us. We see in this world today, often a husband and a wife, so much they appear to love each other. But when one can no longer provide the sense gratification that the other wants, they hate each other. We see here in India, the land of Bharatvarsha, brothers, they go into business together. They're so close. They're so friendly. They do so many pujas together. But when it is no longer appropriate for their own prophet adoration and distinction, they will become enemies. They will be fighting in the courts against each other bitterly. We even see fathers and sons fighting in courts bitterly. They won't even talk to each other because each one wants what the other has. But previously, they were so loving, so friendly to one another, so intimate. This is the world of the cheaters and the cheated. Who is willing to stand by our side when we have nothing? Everyone wants to be your friend when you have everything. There is a saying, until a severe crisis comes into your life and everything's taken away, you don't really know who your friends are. As long as you're doing well, you don't know who is your friend and who is just trying to use you. This is a world of exploitation. And Duryodhana, he was exploiting Dhritarashtra for his own personal sense gratification. But because of his relationship as a son, he put so much sentimental pressure on his father. To the extent that Duryodhana told Dhritarashtra that if you give any concession to the Pandavas, I will commit suicide. You will be the cause of my death. You will murder me. Dhritarashtra was already blind. And he was telling Vidura and others, what can I do? My son, he will kill himself if I don't persecute the Pandavas. In the name of love. Vidura, who was Dhritarashtra's only real friend and well-wisher, who was giving him the best advice, because of his attachment to Duryodhana, he even turned against Vidura and allowed him to be kicked out of his kingdom with nothing. Vidura told Dhritarashtra that your son, he is offense personified. He's dragging you to hell. Give it up. Give the Pandavas what they deserve. Follow what Krishna wants. Duryodhana heard this. Vidura was bold. He was preaching to Dhritarashtra right in the presence of Duryodhana. And Duryodhana, with all of his power and all of his armies, he came toward Vidura and said, you get out of this kingdom. Although it was his rightful inheritance to live there, he said, you get out. And the only thing you can take with you when you leave this kingdom is the air you breathe. If Vidura wanted to live a comfortable, opulent life, all he had to do was remain quiet. But he was actually a compassionate well-wisher. He was willing to risk everything, to lose everything, and even jeopardize his very life to speak the truth. And Dhritarashtra stood by silently as Duryodhana caused Vidura to leave the kingdom. And without Vidura, Dhritarashtra had nothing but bad exploitative advice coming from Duryodhana, Shukini, Dushasana, and all these people who simply wanted to cheat him for his position. So many chances Dhritarashtra had. Here we find Akrura is preaching the same message as Vidura. That just as the offspring of a fish drink up the water that sustains the fish, you are such a fish. Such a stupid, foolish fish. Don't you see that you're maintaining this Duryodhana, and all he's doing is just drinking the water that maintains your own life? And in the end, they all prophesied, if you go against the will of Krishna, you will be vanquished. In the end, Dhritarashtra had to see the terrible, painful death of his own son, Duryodhana. He saw how Bhima literally ripped the heart from Dushasana. All of his 100 sons were murdered on the battlefield, killed. And Dhritarashtra lost everything. He lost everything. Why? Because he wouldn't hear the good advice of Akrura. He wouldn't hear the good advice of Vidura, who were simply representatives of Krishna coming as his friend, as his well-wisher, to give Krishna's love to him. Hari Bol. Krishna wants me to end the class here. Is there any questions?
I think this is a practical problem with all the grahasthas, those who are devotees. It's the fact that whatever we are there in this material life, all are cheaters. And they just want to cheat us. I think even the devotees, we people also try to cheat sometime or the other. To go on a very practical angle, we people, most of the devotees, grahasthas devotees, they, their parents or the relatives, all of them, they are not at all accepting our lifestyle. They don't accept us, what type of a life we are staying in. Now, and that's why most of the devotees, most of the grahasthas devotees, they don't do whatever their parents or their relatives, whatever they say, we don't follow on them, and we have their own personal life altogether. We know that whatever we are doing is right and whatever they are thinking is wrong. Now it so happens that once we accept it that they are wrong and we are right, and we don't follow them. But whenever we want some, so to say, some sense gratification things or some material benefits, now those parents and those relatives, because of the affection we have for them, material affection, they used to give to us something or the other. Now, although we don't serve them, we don't accept them, we don't at all do it, whatever they say, yet because what happens is we will accept whatever they give and we don't serve them. Is it not so we are cheating them actually?
Yes.
We have no rights to take anything from them. So we should not take, is it correct or not?
Arivo. Krishna says in Gita that he is the best cheater. But his cheating is different. His cheating is not exploitation. He is trying to cheat us from our illusion so he can give us truth. He is trying to cheat us from our lusty attachments to give us love, prema. And similarly, devotees are also cheaters. Every time you preach, you are trying to cheat a person from his material attachments to give him attachment to Bhagwan, to Sri Krishna. So that cheating is compassion. It is based on love. It is based on selfless service. But the cheating of the materialist is based on selfish exploitation. So as far as parents Duryodhana, who is the son of Dhritarashtra. But the same situation is there when the parents are trying to take a child away from the path of spiritual life, path of dharma. Oftentimes, Duryodhana appears in the parent form. We are trying to take to the path of devotion or the path of renunciation, vairagya, and the parents. If you don't stay home with us and finish your college and get a job and take over our business, the mothers will say, I will drink poison if you join this ashram. And the father is saying, after all I've done for you, I've put you through college for so many years, I you and myself and your mother, we've taught you how to eat, we taught you how to sleep, we changed your dirty diapers, we put you through school, we tolerated all of your childhood mischief, we've given our lives for you, we've built this house for you, we've worked for you, and now you want to leave us? When we need you the most, we're getting old. We need your support. We need your association. We need you to pay our bills. You'll ruin the reputation that this family has built up for so many generations. You will blaspheme all our ancestors. You will break our hearts. And then they begin to cry and weep. And then they begin to get all other relatives to cry and weep. Sometimes they even vow to fast till death until we come home. Because they want us to be nice materialistic people just like them, with a little pious ritualistic religion mixed in. Duryodhana comes in many forms. Maybe not so evil, but still, they want us to waste this valuable opportunity of human life. Therefore, we must be strong. We are dependent on Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was in the same situation. His father very much was opposed to him being a devotee. But we should have confidence that if we surrender to Krishna, everything will be taken care of perfectly. If you become pure in your service to Krishna, 10 generations, past and future, will all get liberation. What better thing can you offer your parents than that? I was speaking to the students at Sion Hospital. They asked the same type of question. I said, when I was young, I lived with my parents. When I took to the renounced order of life, my parents were so much crying and weeping that only if you come home we will be happy. We are so unhappy because of what you are doing. And I said, what is this nonsense? I said, I lived with you for almost 18 years. Before I left home, I said, I never saw you happy in all those 18 years. You were always in anxiety about something. So what makes you think that if I come home, all of a sudden you're going to be high? I was home for 18 years and you were in anxiety. Left because of all your anxieties. You're thinking if I come home, everything will be nice. So better you're in anxiety thinking of Krishna than so-called in anxiety not thinking of Krishna. So as long as I'm a devotee, you're thinking of Krishna. So this is very nice. So we have to stay firm. As far as accepting favors, if it will help them in their spiritual life, why not accept their favors? But you should not accept favors from any relatives simply for your own sense gratification. If you're not doing what they want you to do, why should you take anything from them? Unless you can help them to advance in spiritual life by accepting it. But you should not take it for any other reason.
Maharaj, the most problem it comes is out of both the partners in the grihastha life. One partner is very fixed up, and another partner might not be so strong in spiritual life. And it becomes such a big tussle, because one partner is to tell us, oh, you better take it, it helps us in spiritual life. After all, they are our parents, this. Mm-hmm. And it will be better if we take it will help us in our service to Krishna. Mm-hmm. On the other side, we have to be, let it go to hell. We don't want anything. Mm-hmm. We will just be whatever Krishna gives us. There's a big problem. On one side, the parent is forcing us, another side, the partner is forcing us, and we are completely, so to say, engrossed in that, what should we do? So mm-hmm.
We should surrender to Guru. And know that everybody else will be all right if you just surrender to Guru. Huh? That is the simple thing. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena se. You inquire submissively from your Gurudev and you do what he says. Everyone has their opinions. Guru is heavy. That means everybody else's opinion, when it is put on one side of the scale, and Guru's opinion is on the other, it goes, Guru's is more heavy. Why? Because Guru is simply speaking the word of Krishna. And Krishna's word is the absolute truth. There are so many relative, ever-changing truths that people are presenting in this world, but we are considered with the supreme truth. And those persons who are speaking the supreme truth, we follow them. And with great compassion and love for all, we know that everyone will benefit if we follow the true path of Dharma. Yes? Besides that, you and your wife are both nice devotees. Why you create all of these scenarios? Yes?
Gita verse, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamevam Saranam Vraja, Agamtva Sarva Pape. See, Agamtva Sarva Pape, when the surrender is complete, so that the papa, the past karma, the fruit of the past karma, will it die or will it have the effect? Because according to this statement, it should die. That should not have any effect. Then only that moksha will come. So I wanted to know, the past karma will die, or will it be having any effect on that?
When you surrender to Sri Krishna, Krishna removes the past karma. It is a personal matter. It is not simply that it dies. Krishna just takes it away, because he is the supreme controller. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. He's the controller of this entire material nature. Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. That the three modes of material nature are under his control. When we surrender to him, he simply, by his own sweet will, removes all of the previous sinful activities and reactions that are stored within our consciousness. But Mahatmanastu mam bharata daivim prakriti mashrita. This means that to such a Mahatma, a great soul that surrenders to Krishna, Krishna puts that great soul under daivi prakriti, under the divine energy. That means whatever miseries may come into your life, they are not your karma. They are Krishna's special personal arrangement to purify you, to bring you to deeper realizations of surrender. So such a soul who is really and honestly endeavoring to surrender to Krishna, they are not simply getting the results of past karma, but they are getting Krishna's special mercy. The Pandavas suffered a lot, and Prahlad suffered terribly. Was that due to past karma? What past karma did Prahlad have? Krishna put him in a pit of snakes. Krishna put him, allowed him to be put in fire. Because in all those situations, his surrender was becoming deeper and deeper, purer and purer. And his remembrance and his love was becoming more and more transcendental. Just like gold. When gold is unrefined, you put it in fire. And the fire makes the gold more and more pure, more and more shining. So Krishna sometimes personally puts his devotee in situation of fire only to further purify his consciousness. So when we completely surrender to Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ashlesya vapadra pampanashtumam darshana maramahatam kurotiva yathata tatha vidatatu lampatomat prananatastu se eva napara. Krishna, if you like, you can embrace me. If you like, you can trample upon me. If you like, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. The surrender of a devotee is, Krishna, you know what's best. You do whatever you like. I am your servant. I am your instrument. This type of surrender is completely above and beyond all karma. We are simply surrendering to the will of Krishna. We are not even concerned with moksha. We are simply concerned with surrendering out of love to the will of Krishna. If you want me to suffer, I'm willing to suffer. When Krishna had headache, he asked the gopis, give me the dust from your feet to put on my head to relieve my headache. And they said, yes, I will. And the messenger of Krishna said, you know, the great saints and the great devatas, they refuse to give the dust of their feet. Because anyone who puts their feet on Krishna's head is going to go to hell. The gopi said, we don't mind going to hell. If we can make Krishna's headache feel better, we're willing to go to hell forever. This is the love of a devotee. Huh? Of course, the gopis would not go to hell. Krishna would not send them to hell, but they were willing for the sake of seva, for the sake of service. And this conception of the gopis is not just a temporary form of purification, it is their eternal nature. It is the eternal way that they are loving Krishna. So sarva dharman purichyasya aham tvam sarva papepo moksha ishyami mashacha. Krishna says, I will remove all sinful reactions, do not fear. That means we should not fear even going to hell if we are doing it in surrender to Krishna. Huh? Because it is not any longer a karmic idea. If we surrender to Krishna, we are in his hands and he can do whatever he so desires. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama.